Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
This hour is sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles.
Byer, are you pleased with the progress, the trajectory 2 years in?
You know, we won 92 games this year. That's you'll take that every single year. The reason why you want to win 92 games is because you want to play in a World Series and then win a World Series. We should have those expectations. We should have them every year. That's why, you know, when you say you win 90 games, like, because you got a chance to win the World Series if you do that. When you don't do it, it's disappointing. 92 games, winning 92 games is not disappointing.
Well, he is right about that. That's Craig Counsell talking about what happened at the end of this Cubs season. They fall in Game 5 of the NLDS to their rival Brewers. And now it is Brewers and Dodgers in the NLCS. You know who I think is winning?
The Dodgers.
Bingo. Not even a question. Go crush the Brewers. Thanks.
But if the Brewers win, I think people's opinions about what happened to get with the Cubs might change a little bit.
Yeah, you'd much rather lose to the team that made it to the World Series than the team that didn't, for
Wait,
sure.
How do you think Bulls fans felt when the Bucks won the... Did you think that changed things?
I'm done with you. I'm really done with you, Mark.
Really?
You're trying to bait me? This isn't even about the Bulls. This is a Cubs segment. We're not doing this.
I know how they felt when they lost to the Heat in the play-in and the Heat made it to the finals.
There's that too.
Yeah.
So I lost Marshall at write this down, Robbie. I lost Marshall 11:03 today.
Can you talk?
Wait till you hear my Bulls segment during halftime.
No,
I can't wait.
Yes,
I do think this is a time to have a little fun, to talk amongst ourselves, and there's a lot of people who wanted to call us and talk about it as well. So let's do it. Let's start with KI in Rockford. KI, you're on Rahimi Harris and Grody on The Score.
What's up?
Hey, good morning, y'all. I hope this call is fetch.
stop trying to make fetch happen, KI.
You know, now that the season's over with, you know, it was a good season and everything, and the Cubs are definitely building, but you know, the biggest question looming about this team going forward is the Kyle Tucker contract. And I believe that they should get rid of Kyle Tucker and promote Owen Casey to the right field position. They can use the money that they would have used, whether it was the Alex Bregman contract or the Kyle Tucker contract, to add velocity to the rotation by going out and acquiring another starting pitcher via trade or free agency. They need to address the bench too. The bench was terrible for the whole season. They did a little bit by acquiring Willie Castro at the trade deadline, but most teams carry 5 outfielders. The Cubs only carried 4.
Hey, KI, can I interrupt real quick? What the Kyle Tucker? Why don't you want Kyle Tucker back?
Okay, so I love Kyle Tucker. He is an amazing player. He does everything, all around game. You know, he's not going to like blast you 40 homers or anything like that. But he runs the bases. He plays great defense.
He's a hell of a player. So why don't you want him back? Why don't you want him back?
Well, I look at it like this. The Cubs have a very left-handed hitting lineup at this point. The only guy that consistently provided power from the right-hand side this season was Seiya Suzuki. And they got good contributions here and there from, you know, Carson Kelly and guys like that. But pretty much any time that they faced a left-handed pitcher, the only guys that they had to really worry about was Seiya Suzuki. The chase rates of guys like Dansby Swanson and PCA was just so ridiculous throughout the season that they couldn't, as a left-handed hitter, you have to put the ball in play and hit behind the runner. And that was what came back to bite them in the 6th inning against Milwaukee. Kyle Tucker's up there. You did the hardest things. You got two guys on base. Kyle Tucker can't put the ball in play to the right side and advance the runner. And that's what Milwaukee does. And that's why we lose and they win.
Well, K.I., that's a good point when it comes to your approach at the plate, what you're able to do. Can you hit to all fields? And how does that advance a runner? Nobody did it to me better than Anthony Rizzo in 2016. You know, best two-strike approach in the game. You saw it. You saw how he was able to do just what you described. But here's the issue. I'm not trying to take away power when they only manage four hits in a game. You've got to understand he's not healthy. And I think because of that, this conversation about Kyle Tucker deserves more than just, you know, than just an opinion about a call. Like, this is a segment we wanted to do.
Well,
but because there's so many people calling in,
yeah,
we decided, you know, to open up the lines, too.
I want to say, though, it is, and you're right, this needs more time than we can justify right now, but I find it odd that so many people have been like, kick him to the curb. Good. Go away. We don't want to pay this guy $400 million. I don't get any of that.
Mark, it's recency bias. It's
you're right.
They've seen what they've seen.
Let's not forget what happened in the first half of the season this year when everybody was saying, wow.
Oh, no. My number one answer to refute what
healthy.
He just said is the man, he's a reverse splits guy. His career slug against left-handed pitchers is .505. I'll take that.
Well, the other part of it, too, is he's what factored into the Cubs needing to win and build a 90-win team. Like Craig Counsell said, we need to be built to win 90 games. And to do so, they needed a guy like Kyle Tucker and that 6 offensive war that he brings to the table. Owen Casey is not there yet. And that's, you want to have the problem of good people getting stuck behind. That's how you got Michael Busch. It's because he was stuck in the Dodgers system because of the talent they had at the big league level. Let's continue on the phones. Let's go to Daryl in Aurora. Daryl, you're on the score.
Hey, folks. Great show. Thanks for taking my call. What do they say? Rainy days and Mondays, all you get you down. You can add the Cubs loss to that, too.
But anyway, there's, yeah.
So if I were king for the day, if I were in Craig Counsell's shoes in the sixth inning, and this may sound... I don't know, maybe like heresy, but I would have pinch hit for Tucker. And the reason is he wasn't 100%. I don't think the guy, he hit a home run in game 4, which was great. But
let's not discount that.
That's how you get to the game 5.
Yeah, but yeah. Here's the deal. What's your objective in that situation? You got a runner in first and second, no outs. The key is to get those guys a second and third. And, I would have had Castro substitute hit or pinch hit because he's got speed. He may even beat it out to first, but you get those guys over. Then you got Suzuki up, and like who's the gentleman that alluded to Suzuki's hit? That was he crushed that ball.
Yeah.
I thought that was out of here.
Same.
I can't.
I thought it was a home run.
17. Same.
I will say this, Daryl, and thanks for your call. If you're hoping Willie Castro somehow runs out a strikeout to first, you've already lost the plot.
That's what I'm saying. What I've heard is two callers pretzeling their minds to try to figure out a way. And my whole point is this: their hitters just weren't good enough. You're not going to pinch hit for Kyle Tucker with two men on and nobody out. You're probably not going to ask him to bunt either. But hey, if that's what you're talking about, pitch hitting for him, why don't you just tell him to lay down a bunt to get guys on second and third for Seiya Suzuki?
Well, and you can't do that because you know he can't run. But then you're asking where the bunt's going to go. Like the discussion becomes at what percentage of Kyle Tucker will you take? You know, opposed to somebody else.
I get fans are desperate, but this is lunacy we are talking about when we're talking about pinch hitting Willie Castro for Kyle Tucker. Did you see what Willie Castro did? He batted, what, 171 or something like that as a Cub? What are we talking about here?
I'm not just saying this because I lost you at 11:03, but I am going to say this. You're right.
Oh. So did you get him back at 11:10?
I don't know.
Was it a 7-minute
break?
Did
I, or do you think I'm just pandering?
We're back on a good page.
Okay.
As we take these calls.
Yeah, this is Raheem Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. Taking your Cubs calls because you want to chime in. 312-644-6767. Don't you worry. We're talking Bears in our next segment. In fact, we got a guy covering the Commanders who will give us a preview of the game. So more Cubs calls because they lost and it stinks and the season is over and I hate it, but this is the situation. So let's go to Michael. And is that Orlando? Is he in Orlando? Or is he in Orlando?
It is.
All right.
Orlando.
Michael in Orlando. You're on with Raheem Harris and Grody.
I'm a Chicago transplant, 1 year in Orlando, and I can tell you sports radio here is non-existent, which is why I listen to you guys every fucking day. Oh, sorry.
We have to dump him. But we appreciate your passion, Michael.
Dump him.
The stream understands your passion.
Oh, man.
Do we keep him on?
What do you got on the Orlando Magic?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Michael.
What do you got on the Magic?
We have to cut the call.
The Magic made a big trade for Desmond Bane, and they should be one of the front runners.
So here's the thing. Once you swear, we have to, even if it's a nice swear, we still have to let you go.
That was solid. That was really strong swear.
That was awesome.
He was in his feelings. I feel it.
Ray called it. That's Ray's call. These fans are in their feelings. I get it.
Ray's on the phone with corporate right now. Ray, what is corporate saying? You tell corporate, come talk to me.
But how awesome was that? That was really nice of him. I'm sorry it's not as good. Let's. What about Jerry on I-80? Is Jerry good to go?
Jerry.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Through a series of, minimal scoring, I don't understand our outstanding manager who we steal from the Brewers isn't even bunting to try to get runners in scoring position when the opposition, who didn't care, they just let Council go, was no big deal, are using that technique to score. They're also stealing. What's the deal? Is Council, did he get that much lost in what was going on in the game or what? I'll listen to what you have to say.
Wait. Is there a specific situation you're talking about when you talk about the bunting? I just want to make sure that you're just saying in general, I guess.
I'm trying to figure out that too.
I am not. I think here's the issue. There's a faction of people who are just anti-bunt no matter what. And they'll argue like in today's game, there's not a place for it. And I will argue there is a place because I see good teams do it. So as long as good teams who are like, advancing farther in the playoffs do than the Cubs, as long as they keep doing it with really good hitters, then I'm going to still be for it because they know more than I do. So I don't necessarily think that bunting gets you lost in the game. I don't think that. I think there are more times where you could argue the decisions made prior to the game have left him for a lot of discussion and you question it. And he's saying, well, I don't care what the lineup card says to start the game. It's a pinch hit at bat for a guy like Justin Tucker. Well, it ends up being, or Justin Turner, it ends up being two at bats. That's where I take more of an issue. But I don't think he gets lost in a game at all. I think he knows what he's doing in a game.
Yeah, I did not. There was not a point in this game where I was like, egregious error by Craig Counsell. He made some egregious errors throughout the postseason. We all know the moves that he made that were bad because we've talked about them to death. That was not the case in this game. There was not a point where I was like, come on, Craig.
Well, I just want to point out also in that series, each team had one sacrifice bunt. The Cubs actually had three stolen bases to the Milwaukee Brewers, too. That's why I was wondering if there's a specific situation he was talking
about. He may have said the Brewers steal in general because these were the two most base-stealing teams in the league. Yeah. So when you consider that part of it, maybe that was also the discussion.
I did like what Ron Darling said, that baseball is played the way it is now, and it's a power game, and it's low bunt and all that stuff. But then in the playoffs, it reverts back to 70s and 80s baseball. It's true. Minimum amount of runs, a little more base stealing. Well, there's a lot of base stealing now, too. But the bunting is back. It is ironic that that's what it becomes in the post.
Our segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today, 312-644-6767. Your reaction to the Cubs losing. We go to Joe in Algonquin. Joe, you're on the score.
Hey, guys. So I keep hearing people trying to say, let Kyle Tucker walk. He's not that great. He's a phenomenal player.
Yes.
Am I going to re-sign him for $350, $400 million? Probably not. But if he'll take $275, $300, there's absolutely no reason you don't sign that contract in a second.
I think you sound like a member of the Cubs front office. What I unfortunately don't think will happen is that. I think that all it takes is one team with a massive payroll to want to sign him, and then that is what the market becomes.
Hello, San Francisco Giants.
That's it. If one team wants to pay him $500 million and they don't care, then that's what's going to happen.
Is that the link right now? Is that what is out there, San Francisco?
Well, it's the Giants. It's the Red Sox. It's the Phillies.
Okay. Like the Phillies who are not going to spend money.
The usual suspects.
Yeah, it's the always the same suspects. The teams who want to spend money.
The Mets.
Like your market, as what we know the Cubs market to be, is not the same market as the teams we just mentioned.
The Cubs are not interested in playing with the big boys
yet. You can look at the playoffs and you can say, if you're in the front office, well, look what happened to the Phillies. Look what happened to the Mets. But does it give you the best chance of getting there? Yes, it absolutely does.
Dodgers, anyone?
It absolutely does. Let's go to Kenny in Elmwood Park. Kenny, you're on with Raheem Harrison Grody on the Score.
Yeah, hi, Layla.
Hello.
I wanted to piggyback on the caller, a few callers ago with the Kyle Tucker. I don't see signing him. He's been hurt the last 3 years, every season. I don't think he's worth the money. And I think,
Hold on a second. Why don't you think he's worth the money?
Because he's been hurt the last 3 years. Why do you think Houston got rid of him?
No, I don't think that's why they got rid of Kyle Tucker.
Yeah, well, I don't know, Mark. I mean, the guy that's not going to play the last three seasons has not played a full season.
He played in 2023.
Two seasons where he didn't play the full season.
Well, he missed a month last year, right?
And
then he came back and terrorized in September. So I don't think this is an injury thing with Kyle Tucker. Am I missing something here?
Well, they were also different injuries. Like, that's part of it as well.
Do you think it is? Like, do you think that's a factor in why the Cubs won't sign him?
Do I think he's injury prone?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
I mean, I don't like the way it was handled. I don't like the way Kyle Tucker specifically handled his hand injury.
And I think because he's 28 years old, I mean, it's not like he's on the other side of 30 and we're talking about him in the same way. We're not, because he's only 28 years old. He's putting up good seasons, great numbers. He's been consistent, except for the injuries. Somebody's going to get a hold of this guy and he's going to produce, and then Cubs fans are going to be like, good riddance.
That's the problem. You have to accept the fact that he may be healthy and willing and able for an entire season, making a difference somewhere else. How much is that worth to you? This segment is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Plumbing Emergency. Call the plumbing professionals available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911.
Check out this text, guys. This is hilarious. OMG. I'm so sorry about that F-bomb. It just slipped out. Being excited to talk to real sports radio, I feel like a moron.
We will give you another chance in another segment, but I'm sorry. These are the rules. You just have to be grounded for a segment. And thank you for listening to us. We're sorry. I know the humidity in Orlando might be punishment enough, but I feel like this is a fair punishment.
How about just thank you for listening, Mr. Orlando? Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, thank
just
you.
We appreciate you.
Appreciate you.
And frankly, that was awesome. I'm sorry we are not at the sports bar that you you wanted to be at to have that statement, but we still appreciate you listening. We have to take a break. Are you sure we have time for one more? No?
Yeah, no.
All
right.
Oh,
Ray, putting the hammer
down. I'm sorry, everybody.
Ray must have gotten to talking to.
Call our meatball machine if we missed you. Go to the Odyssey app. Leave a voicemail.
By the way, 145, we will go through the meatball machine.
I have checked through the meatball machine, and it is meatball.
I love
it.
Right.
So you still have time. Go to the Odyssey app next to Listen Live. Click leave a voice message. Your voice can and will be heard.
And also, I don't know, do we do calls later in our show? We kind of produced on the fly with
this
segment.
We'll figure it out. Yeah,
I believe in giving people a voice. I don't like to have the microphone all of the time.
Also, these texts are flying in, and one guy says that the only Kyle he wants, his last name starts with an S.
I mean, I wouldn't mind that. I'm a sucker for Schwarber.
Hey, friends, here's the issue. He's still going to be expensive. So we will definitely have that conversation. We might have to do Battle of the Kyles.
Schwarbino ain't giving no hometown discount to the Cubbies, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that was on the table the last time, and we saw how that went. There might be some grand gestures that have to happen from the Cubs office for that.
Oh, yeah. And he'd be like, you know what? And throw in an extra $5 million for what you did to Chris Bryant, too. You non-tendered me.
When I eat, everybody eat.
Yeah. Wow. And for the way you just let Rizzo go, that's another million.
How could you give $5 million to Hideki Arabu? Why am I obsessed with Seinfeld references today?
Arabu!
I'm obsessed with Seinfeld today. I apologize. I do not apologize for what is coming up next. We get to get some good intel on the Commanders because this is, well, the Bears play tonight. It's one of those days. To Sean Reed, who covers the Washington Commanders for the Washington Post. He's also on the Between the Lines podcast. He joins us next to talk Bears and Commanders. This is Raheem Harrison Grody and you. Thanks for your calls on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Listen to Raheem Harrison Grody on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
Here comes the Hail Mary with the game on the line. And the ball is caught! Caught! It's a miracle!
From the outside, there's a conversation about this game being a revenge game or an opportunity to exercise demons from last year. Is that something you just completely push aside and try to get the guys to ignore? Or is that something you acknowledge, maybe even lean into?
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to talk to those guys about it. We're a new team, and we're just focused on winning this game this week.
This is Raheem Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. That is Ben Johnson, and you just heard the call of the Fail Mary. We call it the Fail Mary. It's what it is. And we now go to our Circa Resort and Casino hotline, CircaLasVegas.com, and that is where we find Tashaun Reed. He is at Tashaun, T-A-S-H-A-N, Reed on Twitter. He is the Washington Commanders beat reporter for the Washington Post, creator of Between the Lines podcast. Tashaun, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
We appreciate you, Tashaun. We're just trying to understand where the Commanders are because we know Marcus Mariota was forced into action, but now it looks like Jaden Daniels is fully healthy. I'm so curious as to how the Commanders are looking at this matchup as opposed to the Bears.
Yeah, they moved on from last year. They got asked about it a couple of times this week. You know, Jaden Daniels said it's not going to help them win this game, so why does it matter? Dan Quinn, you know, also sort of pushed it off. And, you know, they're right. I mean, this is a different team than they were last year. You know, they obviously shocked the league with that 12-5 record and making a run to the NFC title game. But it's been a bumpy start for them this year. You know, but not only, you know, Jaden Daniels getting hurt, like you mentioned, but also Terry McLaurin, you know, the number one receiver, has been hurt and he's missing this game as well. And it's really been a season defined by injuries for the Commanders. And so they're trying to work through that. And so they don't have too much time to be looking back, you know, at the Hail Mary play from last year and reminiscing about that. They're trying to get right and, you know, separate themselves, you know, in NFC. And they've been hovering around 500 all year. And if they were to drop this one, they'd be, you know, taking another step back. And so they're more so focused on, you know, the task at hand more so than looking back to the past.
What is different in their offense when Terry McLaurin is not playing?
Yeah, they just don't have that threat on the outside that really scares you. You know, Deebo Samuel has been playing at a high level this season, working as their primary slot receiver. And also he's been effective as a kick returner. But he's not that true, you know, outside weapon that McLaurin is, that, you know, kind of helps unlock that deep passing game. You know, that they had last year with him and Daniels having that special connection. And so, you know, they aren't able to stretch the field vertically as much as they were last year without Terry McLaurin. But the thing that's kind of balanced it out for them this year has been the run game. I mean, Bill Crosky-Merritt, the rookie, seventh-round pick, you know, he got a lot of steam during the preseason, but it's one thing to do it, you know, exhibition games. It's another thing to do it in regular season, and he's been excellent for him so far. He's coming off the best performance of his career. He's leading the league in yards per carry, and as Jaden has been out and in his first game back, you know, he was obviously still knocking off some of that rust. It's been the run game that's really kept this offense as one of the best in the league, and so even without McLaurin, you know, this is a pretty deadly unit.
I'm talking to Tashaun Reed. We all are on Raheem Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. The segment is sponsored by Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. I also want to just go over this Terry McLaurin arc with you so far this season, because he's had some twists and turns and plot twists when it comes to his status with the team. You know, how do you think that's all affected him? And his, I think overall, just looking at where he's at, even though he's not healthy, it's still worth a look at when you consider this Commanders team as a whole.
It was a weird year for him overall, you know, coming off of last season. You know, he was expecting a new deal, and I think it's understandable why he did. You know, he's been a pretty consistent receiver throughout his career, despite, you know, the Commanders never really having a great answer at quarterback until last year. And, you know, even though he's coming up on 30, you know, he wanted to be paid accordingly, and the team, you know, resisted that for quite some time. And as a result, he missed most of training camp and before he ultimately got his deal. And anytime a player, you know, doesn't practice for that long, you know, you start to worry about soft tissue injuries. And lo and behold, you know, in that week three win over the Raiders, you know, he suffered a quad injury that's kept him out and, you know, since then. And so, you know, I'm not saying that the injury wouldn't have happened if he had been practicing the entire time. It's kind of hard to predict that kind of stuff, but it's really derailed, you know, his season early on. And in those first three games that he played, he didn't quite look like the, you know, the player that he was last year. Not saying that he fell off, but, you know, he wasn't quite as effective. And so between that and the injury, you know, you definitely have some in the fan base that are a little bit, you know, side-eyeing that contract a little bit. But there does seem to be optimism that he'll be back on the field as soon as next week when they go down to Dallas to play the Cowboys. And so if he comes back and he hits the ground running again, then that's all going to fade away pretty quickly.
Deshaun, Deebo Samuel didn't practice on Saturday. He's listed as questionable. How convinced are you that he will or won't play? And what would the difference be if they don't have Terry McLaurin or Deebo Samuel?
Yeah, I expect him to be out there. Last week, he also missed a couple practices with that heel injury, so it's something that's been bothering him for a little bit. But he went ahead and played against the Chargers last week and had that touchdown catch at the end of the game that helped seal that win. And so I think he's going to be out there. If for some reason he, you know, isn't able to go tonight, that'd be a pretty huge loss for him because, you know, there are other receivers. You know, they've had Luke McCaffrey. He splashed the last couple of weeks, had a couple of big catches. They like Jalen Lane as well, but it's getting pretty thin there, especially with Noah Brown as well still out. Didn't mention him yet. You know, their other starting receiver. And so if they're missing their top three receivers, that could be, you know, equalizer tonight to help this Bears, you know, struggling defense, you know, potentially help keep the Commanders in check.
I imagine that the expectations for the Commanders this year from the start in that town have been enormous. That said, what's it been like so far this year for Jaden Daniels?
It's been a frustrating year for him personally. You know, I think that injury that he suffered in week two against the Packers, that knee sprain, in his opinion, he could have played through it and just kept rolling. But the team decided to hold him out for a couple games. And that's not something that he really willingly accepted. You know, I think he was pushing and chomping at the bit to get back out there. But I think the team made the right decision. I mean, you can go back, you know, a decade ago to RG3, and, you know, I bet they wish they held him out as a rookie, you know, when he started to have that knee injury before he ultimately suffered that one that really altered his career in the playoffs. And so when you have a young quarterback, really any sort of, you know, age, a franchise quarterback like that, you have to protect them from themselves. And, you know, I think that's been the aim for the team this year. And even when he's been on the field, you know, they're trying to get him to be better about sliding, not taking as many hits, you know, learning how to use his legs without taking a beating and leaving himself susceptible to serious injury. And so it's kind of the next step in his growth as a player. I mean, he arguably had the best rookie quarterback season in NFL history last year, but they want this to be a sustainable thing that, you know, he's their guy for 10, 15 years, not 5, 7 years. And if that's going to happen, he has to, you know, get better about protecting his body. And so I think that's really the next step for him in his overall growth as a player.
We're talking to Tashawn Reed, the Washington Commanders beat reporter for the Washington Post, on a Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric football game day presented by your local Ford dealers and Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Tashawn, there was a lot of discussion here last year in Chicago, not just about the game that happened, and we talked about that with the Hail Mary, but how that offense was constructed with Cliff Kingsbury for Jaden Daniels. And now we have Ben Johnson working with Caleb Williams here. But I think there's still a lot of lessons to be learned. There was a discussion about, was it too simple? You know, would league opponents find out and try to adjust in a way that would neutralize the Commanders' offense? What are you seeing even out of this limited sample size with Jaden Daniels as to how year two is going with that respect?
Yeah, I think Cliff Kingsbury is, you know, really fought against, you know, some of those, you know, prejudices that have been out against him. You know, he has been a guy that, he starts seasons fast and then his offense fall off, or maybe they have a good first year and then in year two, it seems like they get figured out going back to his time as the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. But they haven't had that happen this year, even with, you know, Daniels missing time, McLaurin missing time, Noah Brown, others on the offensive line. Sam Cosmi hasn't played yet as well to starting right guard. His offense has remained firmly a top 10 unit in the league. And I think a lot of credit has to go to him. You know, I mean, even when Marcus Mariota was out there at quarterback, he wasn't Jaden Daniels, but, you know, he pretty much kept the offense humming and running it the same way that they were beforehand. And so I think he has to get a lot of credit for keeping this offense on schedule. If teams are going to figure him out, they haven't done it to this point. You know, and so I think this unit, you know, is going to be a scary one once they're able to get everybody back healthy. And you know, this run game, while it was solid last year, one of the better ones in the league, I think it's taken another step this year. And so if they can marry that with that explosive passing offense that they had from last year when Terry McLaurin is back, this could be, you know, a top three offense in the league. And if that happens, I think this probably would be Cliff Kingsbury's last year being offensive coordinator for a while.
Wow.
Tashawn, two things. One, just the weather report. What are you seeing out there? What's it going to be like tonight?
I'm looking at my window. It's looking pretty muggy out here. So I'm sensing some rain. I'm not a weatherman, but, you know.
Yeah. Have you heard how often have you heard the word nor'easter this week? That's really what we want to know.
Yeah, it was really windy yesterday. I heard some lady at Marshall's complaining because too many people called off work for nor'easter. So she was having to handle some things over there. So I think it's going to be a rainy night over at the stadium.
Okay.
So,
I like the Marshall's nor'easter index. I like that.
Yeah. So it seems like people are pretty worried about it. So I think the elements are going to be a factor tonight.
And the other thing I want to know is, look, let's be honest. Everybody's talking about this from a national perspective as number one versus number two. And we know number one has not been as good as number two through a year and a quarter. I said it. Okay. Tashawn, who you got? Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and please lay it out for me.
Jaden Daniels. I mean, he's been, you know, like you said, the significantly better player at this point in his career, you know, whether it comes to passing, running, pocket management, team success. And I know that I think that gets overvalued a bit when it comes to quarterback wins. Like, that's as much as what's around you as it is how well you play. But I think Daniels has the upper hand on both fronts. And, you know, with that being said, it's only been not even a year and a half, you know, since they got drafted. So that could change. You know, it's not, the book isn't written for Caleb Williams. I do think people have been a little too quick to jump off the Caleb Williams bandwagon. I think nowadays, you know, with the rookie scale contracts and how they change, like, people are so fast to move on from these quarterbacks if they're not, you know, amazing from the jump. But I think he still had a solid rookie year, and in these last couple of weeks it seems like they've made some progress on offense. And so you know, I don't think the book's written on Caleb Williams yet, but if you ask me right now who I'm taking today, definitely has to be Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, I get you. The one thing about Caleb, one discernible difference so far this year, is he's kept himself pretty clean in terms of not getting sacked as much or at the rate he was early in the season last year. But this Washington defense that you have been chronicling is pretty sack heavy. I mean, Dorrance Armstrong with 5, Von Miller 3, Bobby Wagner has 2. Specifically, I want to know how they use their edge rusher. Do they move him around a lot? Because we have a rookie left tackle for the Bears tonight at Theo Benedet.
They're usually pretty static. I think also part of that is they've had a lot of injuries on the defensive front. Dietrich Wise, who they signed to be a starter, they lost him for the season. You know, they lost a couple other players as well. And so they're a little bit thinner on the defensive line than they were coming into the year. And so that's limited them a little bit in terms of how versatile they're able to be. But nonetheless, as you mentioned, they've been having one of the best pass rushers in the league so far this season. And Dorrance Armstrong has really been leading the pack with 5 sacks. And, you know, I think it really starts with stopping the run for them. You know, they've had a pretty stout run defense as well this season. And I know the Bears haven't really had an effective run game, even with the offense taking a step forward this year. And so if they're able to lock them up in that element and make them one-dimensional, then I think it could be potentially a long night for Williams when it comes to getting pressured, because when they're able to pin their ears back on second and long and third and long, it's been, you know, been pretty rough. And it's not just the defensive line either. I mean, you know, you've seen Bobby Wagner as a blitzer, Frankie Louvu coming in as a blitzer. It can come in waves. So, you know, they got to get that run game going tonight. I think that's going to be really key for the Bears and sort of helping kind of neutralize that pass rush.
Yeah, Louvu had an amazing season last year. Great point out of Tashawn Reed. We thank you for joining us. And also on Twitch. Tashawn was on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Thank you.
Thanks, Tashawn.
Thanks for having me.
That was Tashawn Reed. He is the Washington Commanders beat reporter for the Washington Post. Yeah, Frankie Louvu. You remember that guy?
Yeah, because he flies.
He is a hell of a talent.
He is, but by the way, the one name I forgot to mention, do you know who is on that team? Eddie damn Goldman. Eddie G.
What was all that retirement talk in 2021?
What was all that retirement talk in 2021?
You remember
indeed?
That? Yeah, Ray's like nodding over here. Do you remember that?
Man, yeah, I thought he was done.
Do you want to know? You want to just a quick refresher?
No, he just made business decisions.
Eddie Goldman, in 2015, the Bears drafted him in the second round. 2018, the Bears gave him $42 million. 2020, he opted out.
Ryan Pace special.
Yeah, he opted out because of COVID. And then 2021, I remember being on the sidelines, be like, what the hell is going on with Eddie Goldman? He just didn't look like Eddie Goldman. And then they cut him, and then he's bounced around. Well, he went to Atlanta, I believe, and now Washington.
But to be fair, he may have had a concussion injury that we didn't necessarily understand the depths of.
Of course.
The important thing is he took early retirement and said, you know what? I would like to collect some more paychecks.
Yeah, he was on that Jason Peters plan.
Oh, we could opt out this season? Sick.
I don't have to play for the Bears?
I'm gone. I'm out of here. Take care. Man. So long, suckers.
I don't blame him for making the business decision. Coming up next. You know we talk about basketball on this show.
Bulls.
We do. And apparently one of us had quite the experience at the Bulls game.
Bulls.
There was even a fight?
Bulls.
All right, so Bulls next with Mark Grody. This is Raheem Harrison Grody on the...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Score.
Raheem Harrison Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
What time is it?
It's halftime.
That it is. It is halftime here in Raheem Harris and Grody. We talked Bears for the first two segments because Theo Benedet is starting at left tackle tonight against the Commanders. Happy Theo Benedet Day, everybody.
Benedet.
Somebody had to do it. We reacted to the Cubs' loss in the playoffs. Their season is over at 10:45, but then we gave it to you at 11, and we had a ton of good calls. Probably one that ends up being a promo if we can bleep out the swear words. It was a good time with the callers at 11. Tashawn Reed of the Washington Post, the Commanders beat reporter, talked to us about what it's like on the other side, the side that didn't lose to the Hail Mary last year. The side that threw the Hail Mary and won. And Mark Grody went to a Bulls game.
I did. Say it again, Layla.
I didn't have you to go to a Bulls
Let's
game.
Let's say it together. Mark Grody went to a Bulls game.
Shout out to my guy, Dan Levy. He was like, yo, I got an extra ticket. You want to go? So I was like, absolutely.
That is the opposite of Parkins. I got an extra ticket. Do you want to go to the game? So then you just do the opposite. I got an extra ticket.
I just did
not. Do you
want
to go to the game?
You want to go to the game? Yeah. You're going to go to the game. You're like my fifth choice. That's what Parkins would say.
Better fifth than sixth.
That is truth. But I did not have enough of Milwaukee teams beating Chicago teams this weekend. So I thought I would go to a Bulls-Bucks game to watch the Milwaukee Bucks beat the Bulls 127 to 121 in a heated game. I have to tell you, though, before I even went into the game, I was to meet Levy by the North Atrium, which actually contains the entrance to, of course, the Michael Jordan statue. And as I'm hanging out, there's lines to get in for the security check and all that because everybody wants to see the MJ statue. So many people wearing their marathon medals around their necks to the point where I thought maybe there was like a tickets were offered to the folks. But the international feel around me was just deluxe. I was hearing, seriously, like accents, like Italian accents. I was hearing Spanish accents. I was hearing German accents. The Germans were particularly interested in the Stan Mikita statue for some reason. I don't know why, but they were.
How did that go?
I don't know. I don't do a great German accent, so I'm not even going to attempt to do that.
You never know. Grody's got
no, I do.
Grody's got
I do.
Voices.
Grota! That is how my last name is actually pronounced.
It is of German heritage.
That's not what Shaq told me, but okay.
Oh, yeah, Mark Grote. Mark Grote. But the real way is Grota! That is correct. But yes, I just found that interesting. Here's the really interesting part, and you guys need to maybe give me the why on this. It eventually got to a point where I was hanging out there for about 10 minutes or so waiting for Levy because he had double-crossed me. And there were people who had miscommunication, and it was his fault. He was already inside the atrium while I was standing outside.
Throw him under the bus.
I expected better out of you, Dan Levy.
He double-crossed me. I had at least, I would say, seven people go out of their way to come up to me and ask me for directions about the United Center. I guess, do I have the quintessential American look about me, or do I look like somebody who would know what was going on around the United Center? Am I uber approachable? Why were people coming up to me?
Hey, you were complaining about being uber approachable with Dave the Cat last week, sir.
Ooh, that's true.
So the answers to your questions are yes, yes, yes.
Wait!
And... what he just said. That's the
Kevin
why.
Harlan.
That's the why.
He's on with us at 12:25. We're very excited.
They heard my ugly accent. Probably what it is.
I thought you were going to say they came up to you and were like, a bears.
Excuse me.
Excuse me, a bears.
But I was delighted in doing it. I'm like, all you have to do, because I was standing by gate 3.5, which was the old media gate.
That it was.
So I'm very, like, I can do this. I'm like, yep, here's what you want to do, ma'am. You want to go right down there? I'm like giving out directions. The people in the line are laughing because they're noticing that everybody is coming to me. They're not necessarily even seeing the last person come up to me like I was an information booth. And it was just delightful. I felt like I got known internationally yesterday.
You needed the sign or the t-shirt that just says, ask me a question.
That's what I felt like.
You were Grody the greeter, like at Walmart.
I was.
Greeter.
And I did pretty well. I think I only failed on One Direction, but I did give it anyway.
One Direction is a tough group.
Oh, like, man.
They had some failures.
You do love your boy bands. We'll talk about that later. We know about that. We know
the
about
night changes, girl, myself.
So there was that before I got in, which was just, it was beautiful. It was just so beautiful.
It also just shows you how popular the Bulls are worldwide.
Yeah.
Worldwide.
Seriously. And, like, of course, then again, there's hordes of people around the Jordan statue. The preseason game. So, get in, good time, all the Bulls, fun stuff. And then there was a skirmish. I got a game where there was a skirmish.
We've downgraded from a fight to a skirmish?
Well, because Bobby Portis was in the middle of it. Yeah, Bobby Portis still got those eyes. Still
he's still mad at the Bulls. He's still mad. And I don't blame him.
Boy, he is. He won. Like the Portis versus the Bulls and Nikola Mirotic, if you'd like. Anybody?
Yep.
So Bobby Portis and gets a technical. Zach Collins gets a technical. Dalen Terry gets his butt booted out of the game. And I'm sitting there. I'm close to the Bulls bench. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. We're seeing a skirmish, a fight, whatever you want to call it, in a preseason game. I'm like, how are the players going to? Because I'm like, I'm going to literally watch all these players. The Bulls players are coming back. As I suspected, they were smiling. They were laughing. And the juxtaposition of Dalen Terry, who was ejected for attempting to throw a punch, I think is what they announced.
Attempting to throw.
That's what it was.
That man never closed his fist. There was no attempt. Torian Prince had his jersey, the fourth player who got a technical foul in that melee.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so he was trying to like push him off of him, but there was no closed fist. It's not an attempt at a punch. It's not.
No, you're right. You're right. But so all the Bulls players are kind of like covering their faces with smiling. And like, I'm not going to say the individuals who were, but whatever. They probably wouldn't care. But and then you see Dale and Terry huffing and puffing and as angry as could be walking through under the tunnel, and then just seeing again the juxtaposition of the players be like, you know, they know how silly it is that guys are getting dejected and that there's a fight in a preseason game or whatever you want to call it.
An altercation is what I usually
go. It's all silly.
Oh, it was so silly. But I knew I had to watch the Bulls bench, and I was rewarded for that. And I was also rewarded to get to see the newly married, the newly minted Alyssa Bergamini doing the debut. It was our Bulls debut this season for the Bulls game. So there was Berg. Shout out to Cheryl Ray, who was hanging out as well. So I got to hang out with some of my media friends, too. So
and Kylan Mills, my Sky broadcast partner, was doing play-by-play for CHSN.
How about that? Yeah, had a good view of her and Chuck and Stacey King and Bill Wennington and everybody. So it was good to see the Bulls crew out there. And shout out to Levy for giving me the ticket, even though his communication was horrible world before the game. Horrible, Dan.
Also, Ray, I guess we can shout out now who we saw run the Chicago Marathon.
Oh, hell yeah. James Fegan.
We were running Zach's to machine. Get from the start line to the finish line where our studio is situated. And in the middle of it all, as we're getting through the runners, there was James Fegan. He finished. He got his medal.
Mad Zach respect, machine. Man. Mad respect to James Fegan.
We love you, James Fegan, whether or not you like it. Sorry.
Why did he not want that put out there at first?
He said something. It was maybe it was just like sarcastic James Fegan. He was like, don't tell anybody you saw me here.
Okay.
But then he posted his medals, so yeah. Now we know it's okay. So we're congratulating
okay, good
James
for you,
Fegan.
James. And to everybody. Everybody. I saw all you. I saw you all. And this morning, there was still a lot of leftover medals today of the people walking around the city.
Saw
it's
some
a great
medals
day.
It's a great day.
Did you take one? I would have done. I
would
have false claimed
it.
Yeah.
I thought about putting a mock one on just so
yeah,
I could be part of the club.
Exactly.
Yeah,
a mock one. What does that even look like?
Yeah, you know what I should have done is put on my Cubs World Series ring. Yo, I got this.
No,
I got this.
Grody. No, Grody, this you don't is know why your is. Mom didn't want you to have it because you'd be waving it around and fall off your hand, and somebody would steal it.
You but don't know where that is right now, Grody.
For people
lying.
Who are interested in stealing that ring, by the way, my mom has transferred it elsewhere.
And that's the end of that.
I'm serious because she's like, well, you were talking about it on the radio, so we thought it would be a good idea to put it someplace else.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's gone.
And you don't know where it is.
Yeah. Hmm. I don't.
It's hidden with the good china and the nice soap that we only use for company.
That's so true.
That's the boomer urge to save the nice things to where they never use the nice things.
We were a family like that. Yep.
I grew up with that mentality. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, that's it. I'm using this nice soap. I'm the guest now.
That's right.
Five on It is next. We have five compelling sports questions for you. We do it for you. That's next on Raheemy Harrison Grody on the Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.